Bibles, turn there in your notes with me to Matthew chapter 7. Last week, we looked at the first half of the chapter, and we looked at unrighteous judgments versus righteous judgments. How the Lord said, judge not, lest ye be judged. Then talked about, in the manner that you judge, it will be measured back to you. And then from there, we saw the Lord showing us and telling us you need to judge. You know, don't give what's holy to the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Absolutely, judging ourselves. Is there a plank in my eye when I'm looking at the speck in my brother's eyes? And we saw how the Lord has instructed us, and we'll see this again this morning, to make righteous judgments, which would be judgments according to God's righteous word, done with an upright heart, and done for the right reasons. And so, again, we looked at that in a lot of detail last week. And then we also saw that charge to ask, seek, knock, to be a people of persistent prayer, even knowing that we give good gifts to our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? And then again, this will integrate into the message this morning, the Lord talking about wide being the gate and broad being the way that leads to destruction. And many go on that broad way and will go through that broad gate. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and there's few that finds it. And he talks about it being a difficult way. And we talked about how, you know what, it's easy but difficult because, you know what, it's calling on the Lord. That's where we're saved. But it's the only free gift that will cost you your life. And so the Lord giving us that instruction, we see him building on it this morning here in the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll see three key areas this morning. Number one, to beware of false prophets, the Lord warning us concerning them because, again, they come in sheep's clothing. They pretend to be something that they're not, and he says they're ravenous wolves. They devour sheep. They devour, or sheep, I'm already like making up words up here. They devour sheep, and absolutely, he says you must judge them by their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. And then he speaks of making sure we know him, where he says, many will say to me on that day of judgment, Lord, we did this in your name and that in your name, but they won't inherit the kingdom of God because the Lord said, I never knew you. And so we'll talk about that. And then the Lord bringing these things together, really kind of the wrap up of the whole message of the Sermon on the Mount, to be wise, to hear the words of the Lord, to do them. And in that, you'll be like a man who built his house on the rock because storms are coming and it will stand. But if you hear and you don't act, it's like a man building his house on the sand. The storms as well will come and that house will fall and it will be a great fall. So let's start here looking at the first five verses. Let's read verses 15 through 20 and then we'll dive into this and just make our way down through it this morning. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now notice here, the Lord is giving a warning. Beware, you need to be cautious. There's so many warnings given throughout the Bible. So many beware signs put up there. And these things are there for, again, us to take heed to. These are not things for us to disregard. Just as when you're driving around, we have stop signs, we have stop lights. Those are there to heed. If you do not heed a stop sign or a stop light, you might even get away with it for a while, but sooner or later, there's going to be a bad accident as a result of your or my negligence if we ignore those things. Do not take the warnings of the Lord lightly. And look at, as we start to get into this, and we'll get specifically on this here in a minute, I think this is an area right here specifically where so many Christians take this lightly and they disregard it. The Lord is saying, I am warning you. There are so many out there that pretend to be a prophet of God, a teacher of God, and they are not. They are posing as one that is upright, and they are not. And they are ravenous wolves. with all the confusion going on in the world and all of the agendas out there in the world, we need to know and recognize the enemy of our soul has one great agenda. It is to lead men astray and keep them lost in their sins. And he has an attack on the body of Christ at every single turn. And throughout the scriptures, we read of liars posing as those representing truth that do not represent the truth. And the Lord says, you need to beware. This isn't the Lord just filling space here. This is the Lord saying these things to safeguard our soul, warning specifically about liars in the church are throughout the word. Mark 8:15, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophies and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. The Lord is saying, I am warning you, and we need to heed the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say amen to that this morning? Now again, false prophets that he's talking about here, he compares them to wolves. The Lord compares us to sheep. And I know that's not the greatest compliment in the world if you know what a sheep is, but sheep are meant to follow a shepherd. And we have the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good shepherd has set up legitimate under shepherds, and a good under shepherd is going to bear fruits of the Spirit of God. You'll know them by their fruits. We'll get more into that in a second. And the aim in all of that is to lead sheep to the Lord Jesus Christ. These false prophets lead them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They lead souls astray. They're ravenous wolves. Again, wolves eat sheep. Sadly, in the day we are living in, and again, I'll preface this by saying there are many good shepherds out there. I think there are fewer and fewer, but there are many out there that teach the truth. They open the word. They rightly divide it. We also have, again, such an access to good shepherds that have gone to be with the Lord, that we have books and teachings and so forth. I like those guys the best generally because I know they finished well. And I know, you know, versus like, is this guy going to get crazy at some point down the road? We have so much of that. And as we talk about false prophets, false teachers, again, we absolutely want to thank the Lord for those that are teaching truth, rightly dividing the word. It is our heart that this is a place such as that and will always be a place like that. It seems, though, that we're in the time now where false prophets, false teachers, and we'll talk about what a prophet is. It's not just one that predicts the future. It's those that proclaim God's word and power. So a false prophet would proclaim their own word, and oftentimes it is done in a demonic power. Because throughout the Old Testament, it talks about false prophets moving in divination, moving in witchcraft, moving in the demonic. Again, it seems we're in a time where false prophets abound, and sadly, it's just seeming more and more that they're more the norm than the exception. It seems it's more of the exception today when you find someone that's, again, proclaiming God's word with power, rightly dividing it. That's the rarer thing today than the false prophet. When I started in ministry, I don't think that was the case. I see it as the case today. And listen, more so, I read what the word of God says, and I don't want to heed it. Because when the Lord was asked, what will be the sign of your return and the end of the age? The Lord said in Matthew 24:11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And notice what he says here. False prophets will come to you in sheep's clothing. And then 2 Peter 2:1, it says, there will also be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Notice the connection there. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Again, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They don't just show up and, hey, y'all, I'm a false prophet. And let me break down all the lies I'm going to bring and how I'm going to show you a different Jesus and a different gospel, and I'm coming in a different spirit. No, they secretly creep in. They come pretending to be a sheep when they are a wolf. And so he says here, again, they secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord. And I'm going to give you some examples of this today, of the denying of the Lord by individuals that absolutely are false prophets and false teachers. And sadly, the average Christian that just doesn't know any better thinks otherwise concerning them, even denying the Lord who bought them. And notice the devouring here. And they'll bring on themselves swift destruction. And then notice verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways. Know the word many. You know what the word many means in the Greek? It means many. It means a whole lot. It means, again, boatloads of them, so to speak. And many will follow their destructive ways. That's the devouring. They lead souls astray. They lead people into destruction. Again, wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. They're preaching a false Christ, a false gospel, moving in a false spirit, because of whom the way of the truth is blasphemed. And notice, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceitful words. They'll tickle ears. They'll tell people what their flesh wants to hear to lead them astray. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Again, Jesus is not just being cute here. This isn't laugh and giggles. This is the Lord being serious here, warning us concerning our souls and warning us to look out for others. This isn't just looking out for ourselves. This is looking out for vulnerable sheep. It's looking out for sick sheep. It's looking out for immature sheep. It's looking out for those sheep that have tendencies, you know, to move away from the flock. This is a divine warning given by God to protect our souls and the souls of others. Sadly, I have seen over the years of 25 plus years of pastoring, most Christians pay no heed to this exhortation. That's my observation. A wolf comes in dressed as a sheep, snout sticking out the front of the costume, you know, the big wolf snout, tail hanging out of the back, big old wolf feet and so forth. So easy, again, if you just use a little bit of discernment. And in fact, in the midst of it, it seems there's always a voice yelling, wolf, wolf, wolf. You know, that one sheep, wolf, wolf, wolf. And instead of going, yes, that is a wolf, or step back, is this a wolf? Let me look for myself. Instead, they step back and they pull the Matthew 7:1 out of context. Well, judge not, lest ye be judged, as they pat themselves on their back for not being religious. Meantime, sheep get eaten up. And you look around our world today, how could you not watch the news last week and be completely grieved of the state of our world? People are like, have you seen the Olympics? Yeah, and that's all I'm going to see. I ain't going to watch any of this woke nonsense. What an abomination. What an abominable thing. On top of politics in general, I just see abominable things on both sides. Again, I'll say it again. You got gay and gay light. You got abortion and abortion light. You got anti-Israel and anti-Israel light. Antichrist and Antichrist light. That's the Democrats and that's the Republicans, with maybe a few exceptions. That grieves my heart, but you need to know this. That got there because of false prophets and false teachers on the pulpit, not standing for the truth. Going along with it as well, just with an aim to live a cozy, comfortable life in this, you know what, short time that we have here on earth, versus saying we're going to stand for the truth because we're more concerned about souls than just living a cushy, comfortable Christian life in our 70 years here on earth. Again, it's a twofold warning. They are ravenous wolves, and then they pretend to be sheep, so beware. Notice 2 Corinthians 11:12. Do not take this lightly. Take this to heart. As the Apostle Paul speaks with the Holy Spirit of God moving upon him, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. So Paul's saying here, I do what I do in part, we'll see in context, to cut off wolves, to cut off false prophets, to cut off false teachers. I am standing, doing what I'm doing, even in the midst of the trials that come, the turmoil that comes, the persecutions that come. I do that to cut them off. They want to be regarded as false when they are liars. Verse 13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Notice, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing. Notice, if his ministers, Satan has ministers in Christendom. And notice again, many of them. If his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Their end is destruction. Again, they don't show up and say, I'm a false teacher. I'm a false prophet. Some of them don't even know that they're that. They're convinced by their lies, but you're still a false prophet if you are not preaching the Jesus of the Bible. If you are not, again, preaching the gospel of the Bible. Absolutely walking in sound doctrine in the Bible. Notice verse 16. And you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So even every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So listen, a true prophet, teacher, pastor, you're going to see fruit in their life that is in accordance to the scripture. They are not going to be all over the place in the pulpit. There's going to be a consistency of sound doctrine coming forth from them. There's going to be fruits of the Holy Spirit in their life. Their ministry is going to produce real Christians. Look at a false prophet generally produces little false prophets. They're going to produce, again, and it's God doing the work, real converts, real disciples. Their prophecy, which again is proclaiming God's word and power, that's the predominant picture of prophecy throughout the scripture. It's preaching with power. It's teaching with power. If one has the gift of teaching and preaching, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and there's going to be some power there. People are going to get taught. That's the power of God. People are going to get exhorted. People are going to be convicted. Sometimes they may be rebuked and so forth, but they're also going to be edified and, again, built up in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to do that in power. And then if it is more the minor picture of prophecy, a proclamation of future events, guess what? It's real simple. They come about. Because if God's giving you a prophetic word concerning the future, God's not guessing about it. He knows the end from the beginning, and it's going to be as clear as can be and come across and unfold as clear as can be. So again, they're going to bear grapes. They're going to bear figs. You're going to see those things. There's going to be an evidence of it. You might find a few flies in their ointment, like you read in Ecclesiastes, where he speaks about a fly in the ointment. Again, an anointment being someone who's of God. There's an anointing of the Spirit of God. But Solomon warns about little compromises and things and fly in the ointment. And then all the focus is on the fly and everyone ignores the ointment. We're all in a process of growing in the Lord. Hopefully there's less and less flies and more anointment. But again, we are sinners saved by grace. But here's the thing. You're going to find grapes. You're going to find figs. You're going to find evidences that this is of God. You're going to read things and you're going to see this, like Paul writing of Timothy there in 1 Corinthians 4:7. He says, for this reason I've sent Timothy to you, who's my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul says he's a beloved brother. That's a fruit of the Spirit of God. He's a faithful brother. He teaches what I teach. He teaches God's word. Notice Colossians 1:7. He speaks of Epaphras. He says, as you learn from Epaphras, our fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Paul's commending these men because there's grapes there. There's figs there. There's the fruits of the Holy Spirit there. There's faithfulness there. They're faithful ministers, and that they faithfully divide God's word. They don't twist it around to, again, promote themselves. for selfish gain. They're faithful to the truth. Come what may, they're going to open God's word and they're going to preach Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. They're going to rightly divide the scripture. They're going to endure and persevere to the glory of God. And we do that through the strength of the Lord. So again, we're going to know a sound teacher through their fruit. And how are we going to know a false prophet, a false teacher? Again, how do we know that? We have to judge their fruit. Again, that's why you don't pull judge not lest ye be judged out of context. Because as I pointed out, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is making judgment after judgment after judgment. But he makes righteous judgments according to God's righteous word. And absolutely with an upright heart and absolutely for the right reasons. And we are told here to judge, make judgments. How do I know a false prophet? I got to judge their fruit. Again, Jesus said in John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, notice, but judge with a righteous judgment. And some people just judge with, again, well, it looks okay. And if you have a wolf in sheep's clothing and you just judge by appearance and you don't judge the fruit, most likely you are going to get hoodwinked by that false prophet. We don't judge by appearance, but fruit. We judge again with the righteous word, with an upright heart before God and the right reasons. And we do this because saving sheep's lives and shutting up liars leading people astray, that's a good reason, is it not? That's a good reason to make judgment. So how do we do this? I'll give you three areas. First and foremost, you judge the words and doctrines of a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, all of them, including myself, by the word of God. The Lord said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So we got to judge our own words, first of all, our own doctrine, and then from there, we judge especially those that are in places of leadership, of those saying, hey, come and follow me, I want to point you to Jesus. We want to judge their words and doctrine by the word of God. In fact, not to do so is unbiblical. It is unsound. You judge what they say. Look, you also judge what they don't say. Because some false prophets are masters of saying a lot of things that sound good, but it's what they don't say that makes them a false prophet. A lot of, again, cheap grace. A lot of half gospels given. A lot of, certain things of the person of Jesus emphasize, other things not talked about that need to be emphasized. And even in that, you end up getting a false Jesus out of what they're putting forward. Listen to some scriptures that, again, emphasize this. Mark 4:24. Then Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. You need to test what you're hearing. Test the words. Test the doctrine. Test what's being put forth. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and you will hear, and to you who hear, more will be given. So he talks about a measuring stick here. Measuring sticks are used to judge. Judge what you are hearing. Judge what's being put before you. 1 Corinthians 5:19, we come to it again. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Don't despise the prophetic word of God. Test all things by the prophetic word of God. This is what he's saying. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. How do I know what's good? How do I know what's evil? I test it by God's word. God's word shows us what is upright and what is not. God will show you who is a true prophet, a true teacher, a true pastor, and who is not. Again, we look at Acts 17:10 and that example given by the Bereans. Then the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea by night. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. This guy Paul shows up. He's preaching Jesus from the Old Testament. They don't just go, oh, well, it's a new guy. Let's believe him. They said, let's open the word of God up and test these things. And Paul didn't say, how dare you test me? I am God's anointed man of the hour. Paul commended them. He said, dadda boy, you need to do that at every single turn. Notice Deuteronomy 13:1. And this will move us into some examples of this and some exposing of some false prophets. He says in Deuteronomy 13:1, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and that sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God, and here's the thing, hear this morning, don't miss this. The Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. False prophets are there in part to test the sheep, to test them. Do I love God? Do I want to walk with the Lord? Or do I want a false prophet who tickles my ears? Do I want to heap them up because these speak things that appease my flesh? We're being tested. We're being tested. Will we heed the warning signs, or will we just do as we will? Again, false prophets, as he's saying here, they teach a different God than the God of the Bible. And we need to remember they're sneaky about it. They're sneaky about it. They creep in unnoticed. And so we need to test what is said. I'll give you an example of this. I've given this example before, but I'm going to give it again here because, you know what, some of you may not have heard it before, and I want to expand on it a little bit. This quote that I'm going to read here, it's from the pamphlet, Be Still and Know That You Are Not God. I love the title, Warren B. Smith. And of all the Lighthouse Trails pamphlets, and we have just about all of them out on the patio and they're free, this is pamphlet number 74. This is probably one of the best ones, in my opinion, that's been written. Because this idea of pantheism is so spreading through the church. And this is the idea that God is in everyone and in everything. And there's not a separation made between God and creation and man and God. And ultimately what it is a false God. It is the new age God that everything is God. I read from the booklet here. And this is Warren Smith talking about Neil Donald Walsh, which is one of the leading new agers in the world. It says, oneness is the foundational lie of the new age, new spirituality. New age leader Neil Donald Walsh claims to have had literal conversations with God. He said God told him that oneness, God in everyone and everything, is the foundational truth of a new spirituality that can save the world. In regards to this imminent pantheistic and heretical worldview, Walsh writes, we see God in everyone and everything, including our divine selves. Oneness is the message. It is the foundational truth of the new spirituality. And in the pamphlet, which you can get out there, they'll probably all be on today and we'll get more, or online, he gives where those quotes come from. Now notice with that said, I want to point out again, three of the best-selling books in Christendom in probably the last 20, 25 years. And in pointing this out, I'm not saying if you read that book, that makes you a false prophet or you're a heretic. Because these books have been read by so many people, and they were read because someone who you thought was trustworthy said, you got to read this book, it's so good. So know that. But here's the thing, we got to test all things. We got to test all things. Because this pantheistic God is being presented in every single one of these best-selling, quote-unquote, Christian books. Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life. Listen, he quotes about 16 different Bible versions in that book. That's a red flag right there. Because what he is doing is trying to find every translation of each verse to form it to fit what he's trying to put forth versus, again, just letting the Bible speak for itself. And so he deliberately quotes the New Century Version of Ephesians 4:6. The New Century Version, have you ever even heard of it? You know what? Oh, I read the New Century Version, said no one ever in the history of the world, even at the beginning of the 21st century. We got the New Century Version. So what? I'll never buy that or read it or anything else. That is a dud. Again, translation, New Age translation, and praise God, it was a dud. It didn't take off. Because Ephesians 4, 6, and we'll look at the real context of this here in a second, so hang with me. It says, he, referring to God, rules everything and is everywhere. And notice, and is in everything. That's pantheism. This was pointed out in the first edition of the Purpose-Driven Life, which is now in edition 120-something, because millions and millions of this trash book have been printed, promoted, and put forth. It was called out. Look, at this isn't some new idea that someone just discovered, what pantheism is. This has been established a long time. Any Christian, especially any pastor, any teacher, should know what pantheism is because it is so abundant, and they should know it is not scriptural. There's nowhere in the Bible that you're going to find God is in everything. I'll expand more on this in a second here, but it's promoted there. And again, this is a man that just has false teaching after false teaching just spewing out of him at every turn. But he poses as a sheep when bro is a wolf to the umph degree. Sarah Youngin, Jesus Calling. In the July 8th message on page 199 that Sarah Young says she received from Jesus, she states that he says he is in everything. Quote, I am above all as well as in all. Pantheism once again. And then William P. Young, in a book called The Shack, page 112, says, quote, God, who is the ground of all being, dwells in, around, and through all things. And then he goes along from there to capitalize the letter C in creation at least 20 times in The Shack. The capital C reflects what his Jesus is teaching, that God is in all things, including creation. He's saying creation is God. So as you would capitalize Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, he says we also capitalize creation because God is in creation, because creation is God. This is wolf behavior. This is false prophecy. It's false teaching. It's a false God being presented. It's pantheism. Notice Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. You see God, you see creation. God is not creation. God created. They are not one. You're like, but God's omnipresent. He is. And that, absolutely, he is among creation. He sustains creation, but he is not creation. And this idea of God in everything and in everyone is unbiblical. It's pantheism, something that's been practiced for thousands of years that is completely pagan. Notice Ephesians 2:12. And at that time, you were without Christ. At what time? Before we were born again. He says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope, notice, without God in the world. Well, wait a minute. Rick Joran just said that I had God then. No, I didn't. The Jesus of Jesus Calling said God was in you beforehand. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. You were without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And then going back to Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, which is, again, completely butchered in the Purpose-Driven Life. He says there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. He's speaking to the church here. He's speaking to those called of Christ. Are you in Christ today? Can you say amen? Then you've been called of God into Christ. He says one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, which means among all. He's omnipresent. He's among all. And then he says, he is in you all. He's in us. And biblically, that doesn't mean that we're God. It means the Lord resides in us and we walk with God. He's in us, but that doesn't make us God. Pantheism says he is in everything. And for these three authors to completely put, you know what, butcher this, they're telling non-believers, you're good. God's in you. God is not in them and they're not God. They need the Lord. You're like, oh, it was just a slip up. These aren't slip ups. These aren't slip ups. You go start testing the rest of the doctrine in these trash books. And yet they were given out by, again, probably even some well-meaning individuals. But you got to test this stuff. And you don't give a pass just because, again, it's some big name. I'll give you some more here. This is Brian Houston from Hillsong Church. Anyone ever heard of him? Hillsong, it's being sung by probably 95% of evangelical churches in America today. And you're like, well, they just sing the music. They don't agree with the doctrine. Every time you sing a song in church, someone's getting money. They're getting money for that. And they should to a degree. That's their work. You go to a church and they're singing Hillsong, they're funding that abomination. It's one of the many things. Quote, Brian Houston again. And since then, he's been shown as a sexual pervert, and they've stolen hundreds of millions of dollars and so forth. But before then, do you know, take it all the way back to the Old Testament, and the Muslim and you, we actually serve the same God. Allah to a Muslim, to us, Abba Father God. This is a different God. Allah and God the Father are the same God. You know what Islam says? There is only one God. His name is Allah, and he has no son. This isn't a slip up. This is someone, again, showing their snout sticking out of their sheep clothing. The tail just popped out of the back of the clothing. And so many Christians says, oh, you know, but I like that music, oh man. You know what? It reminds me of the secular stuff. So let's sing on and just let it slide. And the Lord says, I am warning you. Amen. And you look at where our world is today, it is because of the pulpits in the world. It's because liars like this run amok and people don't check them. They just let them keep doing it. Dallas Jenkins, the producer of The Chosen, his co-producer is a Mormon, just so you know. Quote says, the stories of Jesus, talking about Mormons and Christians, the stories of Jesus we do agree on, and we love the same Jesus. And then he was called out, what do you mean by that? And people say, well, he cleared that up. This is him clearing it up. I'm talking about some of the LDS friends that I have do love the same Jesus that I do. No, but my Mormon friends, they love, it's not the same Jesus, just so you know. Their Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. He's not God. He didn't atone for your sins on the cross. You're not saved by faith in him alone. You're saved by acknowledging him to a degree and then by your own works. And they put Brigham Young on a far higher plateau than Jesus Christ. It's not the same Jesus. But you talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing, because, oh, that's a funny Jesus, and that's a woke Jesus, and that's a Jesus, you know, that even the non-believers drawn to, because they completely put out his deity and his reverence and him saying things like this with power of divine warnings. Everything's a joke. It's all laugh and giggles. It's deception. So we see these three authors putting forth the New Age God, Brian Houston putting forth the Islamic God, Dallas Jenkins putting forth the Mormon God, and then Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church saying, I am God. Notice, quote, it's always been in you. There's nobody who can lead my life, who can keep God from keeping his covenant with me. I'm not in covenant with a person. I'm in covenant. I'm not in covenant with a political party. I'm in covenant with God Almighty, and are you ready for it? He said, I am God Almighty. That's word of faith. Hillsong Church is word of faith. Bethel, it's word of God. Word of faith. They think they're God. They say we put faith in our words and we create our future. That's how God created the world. They say that's how Jesus got out of hell on a technicality. He was being tormented in hell, and God put faith in his words and got Jesus out of hell. And we'll give you one more here. The Kenos heresy teaches that Jesus set aside his divinity while on earth. According to this doctrine, Jesus was no longer divine from his birth to his ascension. Bill Johnson of Bethel Church has promoted this heresy, and Face to Face with God on page 108, he said, Jesus set aside his divinity, choosing instead to live as a man completely dependent on God. He teaches Jesus ceased being God while on earth. Look at Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's heresy. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And listen to this. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, notice here, you may well put up with it. You can't put up with it. And yet the church not only so much puts up with so much of this, they host it and they put it up on a big old stage. Are you going to heed the warnings of the Lord? This is the warning of the Lord wanting to protect souls. And he said these men would run amok, these women would run amok in the last days. They would be heaped up. Another area here, if they make prophetic predictions, you judge their accuracy. And a lot of these guys do this. Especially in the Bill Johnson crowd. Boy, they got a word at every single turn for whoever, whenever. Deuteronomy 18:21. If you say in your heart, how shall we know the word of the Lord which is not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. If it doesn't come about, it's a false prophet. Ezekiel 13:8 puts it like this. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and have visioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility. Notice who divine lies. They move in divination. They move in witchcraft. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Chris Volatin of Bethel Church. He prophesied to all who would listen that God told him Donald Trump would win re-election in 2020. He didn't win. Volatin said, I take full responsibility for being wrong. There's no excuse for it. And then he added, I think it doesn't make me a false prophet, but it does actually create a credibility gap. Are you above the Bible? They think that they are. Bro, you're a false prophet. Shut your mouth and go away, please. But instead, the sheep are drawn. Why? They tickle your ears. They memorize them. They titillate the flesh. They get a little personal word for them of how grand they're going to be versus saying, open up God's word and soldier on for Jesus. Liars. And then you judge the fruit of their lives and their ministry. This can be most difficult because oftentimes they're on a platform play acting. You only see the face of it. But give it enough time and the rotten fruit will again begin to be seen. And in many of these people that I mentioned, you start seeing it. You start seeing the money theft. You start seeing the sexual immorality. You start seeing the spiritual abuse and so forth. You don't see the fruits of the spirit, but arrogance and haughtiness and theft, again, immorality and abuse, they begin to appear. Those qualifications of an elder that we read of in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus, you start seeing the opposite of it. And you just see it. It's so much today. This guy, Robert Morris, supposedly the biggest church in America, 100,000 people, like, I call bull on that, number one. A sexual deviant as a pastor, and it covered up by so many other pastors and ministers. Completely covered up. A man says he's a pastor abusing a small child and all these men turning blind eyes to it. But your sin will eventually find you out. Again, Carl Linz, Rabbi Zacharias, Mike Bickle. Again, it goes on and on and on and on. The fruit of their life. And you look at the fruit of their ministry. Guys, it's a big deal. We must be aware. We must judge. You got to judge the fruit, but most don't do it. Some might do it for a season, and then over the course of their Christianity, they quit doing it. Why? It takes work. It takes endurance. It takes a willingness to be judged falsely by the love crowd. The people who don't want to judge anything. I mean, you say, wait a minute, this is wrong. This is pantheism. This is a false god, a false gospel. Oh, you're so religious and judgmental. While they pat themselves up on their back in their actual false religion because they're going by a standard they made up, not a biblical one. We got to endure. Again, in Acts 17:11, they searched the scriptures daily. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You got to endure. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They say, tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. I don't want the truth. And if the truth shared, that's religious. You heresy hunter, how dare you warn us of false prophets? Well, Jesus said, I'm warning you. And again, there's going to be hate that comes. 2 Chronicles 8:7. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, again, he was saying, is there a man of God who can tell us the truth? There's still one man by whom we may acquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He's Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Again, in the host of false prophets. And these pictures of Israel, again, it's so much and oftentimes a picture of modern day where there's all these false prophets telling this King Ahab what he wanted to hear. And Jehoshaphat, isn't there a man of God? I hate him because he never tells me what I want to hear. Sadly, less and less Christians you see standing in the truth, and you see more and more liars abound. Not my opinion. It is my opinion, but it's more than that. It's biblical. And sadly, many who say they're Christians love these liars who tell them what their flesh wants to hear. Jeremiah 5:30, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. Their priests rule by their own power. Notice here, and my people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end? And listen, this is why a trash book like Jesus Calling is so huge, because that's your boyfriend, Jesus. Going to come whisper everything your flesh wants to hear when it is full of vile perversion on almost every single page. And they even said in the original editions, the book was inspired by God Calling, written by two anonymous listeners, New Agers, who sat and listened to demons. And if you compare God Calling with Jesus Calling, it's the same stinking book, but millions and millions of copies. You're like, I read that. Look at, I'm not taking a judgment on people that, again, sometimes they read these things and it was given to them by someone who they thought was sound, and maybe they didn't know it as well, but you got to test it. And then once you know, what are you going to do? Okay, well, you know what? I don't subscribe to that today. That's on you then. God's testing you. Test what I'm saying by the word of God. I'm barely scratching the surface of this trash. It goes way deeper than this. This is what the Lord talked about in the last days. Heaping these guys up. Heaping them up. Again, praise God for those that are sound. Praise God for those staying the course. But wolves and hirelings have become the more the norm than the exception. Wolves peddling it, and hirelings just following along like Pied Pipers, because they don't recognize God's given them a voice to stand up, even if it's in Podunk, Atascadero, and say, this is wrong. Not in this place, bro. Not here. It's not coming here. You're like, oh, you're telling us who to follow, whatever. You can follow whoever you want. I'm going to stand here, though, and be a faithful watchman. Amen. And if you think that's hate, you got it wrong. It's loving people's souls. It's caring about people. He says in verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's some weighty consequences. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. They'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. And again, sadly, many will follow them. This is the reason for the warning. If they were just over here chirping and whatnot, and everyone's like, oh, come on, everyone knows that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Look at that horrible sheep's costume he has on. It wouldn't even be a big deal. It's a big deal because they're ravenous. They devour sheep, and many sheep follow them. That's why it's a big deal. That's why to shut your mouth and being complacent is sinful when you know better. To see such evil and say nothing is vile. It is wicked. It is perverse. Well, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to be that guy. You're called to be that guy. You're called to be that gal. To proclaim truth. Yes, we do it in love. Again, it needs to be done righteously. But we got to stand on the truth. Because if the church doesn't do that, you think the world's going to do it? Again, I'll read it again with what's, you know, it been said, 2 Peter 2:1. But there will also be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And then notice verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they'll exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Listen, this is a big deal. You judge the fruits and you keep judging. And again, we'll go back to what we looked at last week. You start by judging yourself, amen? Because if you got a plank in your eye, how can you make any sound judgment? 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It's a big deal. You're going to save yourself and those who hear you. Guys, you got a voice in the matter, just so you know. I'm just a little sheep over here. God says, you got a voice in it. You have a voice. Or will you exercise your voice? Or will you shut it to appease the demonic? Because that's what's behind all of this. It's divination. It's men promoting themselves. It's men making disciples after themselves. The Bible speaks of this from Genesis to Revelation. The epistles all speak of this in great detail. But so many people say, well, you know what? We're not going to heed those warning signs. This is an all-inclusive place here. No, wolves, hirelings, false prophets, false teachers, they have no place in the body of Christ. And a pastor that turns a blind eye to it is not shepherding the flock the way that they have been called by God to shepherd the flock, and they'll give a greater account to God Almighty. Guys, we got to get back to the fear of God. We got to get back to the fear of God. We'll close with this. We're not going to get to these other verses, so that's all right. What do we do once we identify a false prophet or false teacher? Notice Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brother, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And you need to know, people might say, oh, Pastor Steve, he's being so divisive up there. Rick Warren caused the division. Sarah Young causes the division. William P. Young causes the division. A Brian Houston, a Bill Johnson, a Dallas Jenkins, a Stephen Furtick. They cause the division. Not the person that says this is wrong. The Bible always says the heretic causes the division. They're bringing lies into truth. They're causing the division. Let's keep it straight here. Let's keep it biblically. Note those who cause divisions and offenses. He doesn't say those that test everything by God's word. Oh, those divisive, hateful people. No. Contrary to the doctrine which you learn, they cause division. They're divisive. He says, avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, notice here, deceive the hearts of the simple. This isn't just about you. Well, I can listen to that and it doesn't affect me. Yeah, but your neighbor who you don't even know is a Christian, hears that music blaring out, and they're kind of, you know what, confused with all this stuff. It might affect them. And it might affect your kids. And it might affect the coffee clutch that you go to and you talk about what you're listening to and what you're reading. It might affect them. And you'll give an account for that just as I will. My conviction is I don't sing their stinking songs, I don't read their stinking books, and I don't watch their stinking woke television shows. Amen. Oh, but it's so cute. The Lord says, I am warning you. Jesus is not, this isn't cutesy, the chosen Jesus here. This is God. This is God who said, I came to die on the cross for your sins. This is serious matter. In fact, we won't get into it today. Lord willing, next week. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You will practice lawlessness. Again, he says, many. Don't say there will be a few. Many. I didn't know you. Why? They're following false gods. False Jesuses. False gospels. What's the will of the Father? Believe in Jesus Christ, and then you'll be saved. That's the will of the Father, because everything comes out of that. Let's stand up, and we'll close here in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless and praise your holy name, God. We just thank you that you are good to us, Lord. We just thank you that you are truth. We thank you that you are never changing. There's no shadow of turning in you. There's no darkness in you. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that you are everlasting to everlasting, and that the word of God never fades. We thank you that you're not perverse. You're not deceptive. Let us be a people who have a fear of God, that honor the word of God, that reverence you. A people having our minds renewed. Let us take heed to these warnings given in the scripture. Help us in this area, God. Lord God, we want to win people to the truth. We want to win people to you. But hear this, what you win them with is what you win them to. Help us, God, to represent you properly. To preach the gospel of the word, Christ crucified and raised from the dead, and salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and you alone, to the glory of God alone. And God, give us a boldness to speak truth in love. Even if it means we're classified or put in a certain category by individuals that want their ears tickled. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. If you're here today and you haven't called upon the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world, lived a sinless life and died on the cross for your sins and rose from the grave, today's the day of salvation. Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. The Bible says, whoever would call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on him. Call on him. He'll meet you where you're at. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Lord, let us lift our voices to you, God. Lord, in a robust, in a hearty matter here this morning, God. I pray we could just give you praise in one accord. Let's worship him as we close.